Hey everybody, welcome back to Check the Gate, a Film Lover's Deep Dive. I'm Bert, and as always, I'm joined here with Brandon.
Hello.
And Michael.
Hello.
And today, we are doing our third film in our rom-com collection, Say Anything, which is a 1989 film about a noble underachiever and a beautiful valedictorian fall in love the summer before she goes off to college. Beautiful. And I gotta say, Brandon, when you said rom-coms, this was literally the first one that popped into my head.
Yeah, it's a good bar to start, you know? Like, this is a classic rom-com. I think it could be one of the best.
I mean, it's one of my favorites, obviously, or else I wouldn't have chosen it. But honestly, this might be like a top 25-er all-timer for me. It's one of the few movies that, on multiple rewatches, I will still cry when I watch it. It was definitely a very, I guess, integral film in my adolescence, high school, wanting to be Lloyd Dobler, thinking maybe I was, finding out I was not. but just that, you know, shoot your shot mentality, while also just not being an asshole, you know, still being the good guy.
Lloyd reminds me of my cousin, like to the T. Like, it's crazy. Like,
even young, down to the creepy trench coat.
With sans trench coat, yes. But the sense of humor, like the wittiness, like just their mannerisms, like are totally. Yeah, it's crazy.
Big kickboxing fan.
Yeah.
No. Sport of the future, Brandon. Michael, what say you? You're awfully quiet.
I hate it. No, I'm just kidding. It is such, like, the first time around, I was like, oh, that was okay. Watched it again, and then I'm like, okay. But then as I'm thinking about it now, it's like, one, love makes you do quirky ass things. Yeah. But then also, as you're talking about Lloyd Dobler, it's like he has convictions in things that, like, people are like, what the hell? But then he's just like, well, it's what I like to do. You know, he's just purely off, like, himself.
I will not buy, sell, or produce.
Yeah, yeah. So that part, after going through and thinking about it, yeah, that's what makes him such a neat character, especially his dynamic with. Remind me of her name. It's been a bit.
Ione Skye?
Yeah, yes. Yeah, his relationship, how it develops with that, and then obviously the roller coaster in there. But yeah, it just makes it such a neat thing. So yeah, it was a good movie.
No. Had you seen it before we chose?
No, just the references, you know, with the boombox.
Just, yeah. I mean, outside of, like, yeah, the iconic scene from this film.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, I can't really say anything more than I already said, but, like, this was definitely one of those where I happened upon it. Like, you know the reference of I'd seen the image of John Cusack holding the boombox before. It's kind of like what you were talking about a few weeks ago with, like, when you get sent a GIF and then you see a film and then you're like, oh, that's the GIF that I see.
Mm-hmm.
Not knowing that that was the movie and then seeing it. And then it's like, oh, that's that image I see. You know, maybe not everywhere, but, like, I'm accustomed to, but just, like, happening upon it, and it's one of those sticky films that just, like, sticks with me.
Yeah.
Where I'm just like, and then seeking it out, buying it. It was one of the first movies I've ever owned, like, that I bought with my own money, not, like, was gifted. And then, like, it used to be just a movie I had on all the time whenever the girl I liked, said thanks but no thank you, you know, like that kind of thing. It's just, yeah, like, oh, I need you, Lloyd.
Yeah.
I need you, Lloyd. You give me hope. Like, all joking aside, but the, like, how silly that is to, like, have that mentality, but then also just, like, loving it so much that, like, now, and then also, like, appreciating the movie as just a great movie in general. And then I think that's why it was just like, you said rom-coms, that's the first thing that came to my mind.
Well, I think that, like, movies like this, if you see movies like this at a younger age where you're feeling so much about everything, and then this kind of gets absorbed into that world. Like, it just amplifies any feeling that you have about the movie, and then that's why it sticks with you and holds weight with you.
Yeah, and I think it's also very relatable. And, you know, you kind of look back now and you're like, man, I was that awkward kid too. Like,
yeah, but inside you have so many feelings, but you don't really, you have a weird way of expressing them.
Yeah, and I'm not as funny as divulging them like his character is. You know, you kind of idolize that. Like, you're like, yeah, man, I wish I could talk like that. Just comes out.
Yeah. Yeah, for such an awkward dude, conveys it very eloquently, but also,
yeah,
like, awkwardly, you know?
Yeah. Yeah. And still very lovingly.
That's what I'm saying.
For
it,
sure.
Like,
yeah.
Yeah. With the,
like, even like the, like, you were talking about just how, like, not necessarily goofy he is, just like the weird, like, the obviously the moment that sticks out to her is him moving the glass out of the way when she could clearly just step over it, but just like that moment of like, I know what you can, but let me also go out of my way to just be like, careful of that glass, let me kick it away with my foot.
Yeah.
And then I still have you walk around it.
Yeah.
But then also like just being also clearly like the most famous person at that school too.
Yeah.
Where everyone's just like, nice, Lloyd. Way to go, man. Like, everybody knows him. Obviously, you know, the polar opposite of her, who is meeting people for the, literally, what seems like for the very first time.
Mm-hmm.
At that party. She's coming out of her shell, going home to her best friend, who happens to be her dad. You know, that's a whole nother relationship aspect to this movie, where sometimes, for better or worse, he was like, I really want you to tell me everything. And then she's like, I had sex with him. He's like, maybe don't tell me.
Maybe not everything.
Yeah, let's take a step back.
I'm so glad we can talk about this, Dad. He's just like,
Yucky.
But let's dive into this puppy, shall we?
Yeah, let's do it.
Like I said, this is a 1989 film. The top three films of 1989 are number three, Back to the Future Part 2, number 2, Batman, and number 1, Indiana Jones and the Last Crusade. Awesome. So we got the middle of a franchise, we got the beginning of a franchise, and we got the ending of a franchise.
This is a weird question, because there's been so many. Which Batman? The one that, like, with...
Who? Batman 89, Michael Keaton.
Okay, the Keaton
one.
It
was just called Batman.
I know, I just... Yeah, I was like, okay, that time, okay, yeah, neat, okay.
Yeah. Jack Nicholson,
yeah,
as the Joker.
Yeah, but you have to do some serious math to figure out which Batman you were talking about, like, 1989.
Like, basically,
Michael Keaton,
it distinguishes, yeah, which Batman, you know,
yeah.
Who is the Batman? So.
Who is the Batman? A ticket cost in 1989, $3.99, which is equivalent to $10.31 our money. The budget for the film was $16 million, which is equivalent to $41.3 million. And the box office was only $20.7 million, which is equivalent to $53.5 million. So didn't make a whole lot of money back. The director, Cameron Crowe, credits Roger Ebert giving it 2 thumbs up for even...
Giving it
somewhat
life.
Of a boost. Yeah. And it was nominated for 0 Academy Awards. Kind of like how we were talking about, we open up on the movie, we're already kind of getting to know John Cusack, who plays, obviously, Lloyd Dobler, where he's got his 2 gal pals, and he's pretty much just like, I'm asking Diane Court out tonight. And they're all like, she's above your weight class. Don't even... It's senior year graduation. Would have loved to have a graduation outside. By the way, I love that this, like, they introduced that we're in Seattle, but then are clearly filming a lot of this in LA.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I remember there being palm trees up in the Pacific Northwest.
The apartment that he lives in with his real life sister, Joan Cusack, you can see, like, the California hills in the background.
Yeah.
And I was just like, well, that's definitely not Seattle.
Those should be mountains.
I have an opinion as to why they set it in Seattle, and we'll get there in a second. Well, maybe not in a second, but we'll get there. Diane Court is clearly the most beautiful girl at their school. She's the valedictorian, but also everyone says that, like, she's out of your league kind of thing, but then also clearly nobody even knows her.
Right.
Which isn't necessarily anybody's fault, because she's very invested in her studies. We find out the graduation, you know, she's practicing her speech. She's got the punchline that only her dad thinks is funny. which is just your classic valedictorian speech where we have to listen to the smartest person in the school one last time.
Yeah.
And they're like, well, let's try out my grade A material on everybody. We don't think you're funny.
Yeah.
Suck.
The principal, you know, kind of introduces her as, like, you know, obviously valedictorian, but like all the extracurricular activities she did, extra add-ons. She worked summer schools to try to graduate and get this important fellowship that takes place in England. So she doesn't really have a life outside of literally her dad and her school. We get the great photo bomb at the graduation where he's like, I'm going to take a photo with her. Just take it. And like, he just kind of like, jumps in after her dad like gifts her a graduation present of a car, but it's a stick shift that she doesn't even know how to drive. So it's just like, great idea, Dad. Yeah. With the promise that I will eventually one day teach you how to drive stick. But I love the home life of Lloyd coming home, John Cusack, with like we said, real life sister Joan Cusack, and her little son that. He's clearly, like, the fun uncle, and, you know, she doesn't care for that. Like, she wants you to be, like, a respectable uncle and not the guy who just gets him wild.
Which matches her energy as... Which matches her energy as the principal in School of Rock. So that's my connection right there.
By the way, I was thinking about it when I when I was watching it yesterday. I was like, I haven't seen Joan Cusack in a while.
I know.
Where you at, Joan? Where you at? Come back.
I'm going to be a guest. Actually, just listen to our podcast and then chime in and let us know. Okay, thanks.
I've been here the whole time. Why do I sound like David Lynch? he places a phone call to Diane's house. Her dad picks up. I love how he's like, are you the guy with the Mustang? No, sir. The truck? No, I drive a blue Chevy Malibu, but that's not why I'm calling. he's like, I want to ask your daughter out. And he goes, well, I'll send her the message. Like, you know, he does the Lloyd Dobler 555-1243. That's 555-1423. Lloyd Dobler 555-1. I got it. Okay. I like how he adds the little good luck champ.
Like we'll add you to the queue, bro.
Exactly. Like, get in line, bud.
Yeah. She sees the message. She calls him back. He's like, I really want to take you out. And then she kind of reluctantly at first is like, no, I'm busy. But then is also like, you know, maybe I should, you know, go out and experience some things this summer before, you know, everything gets ramped back up and I go to college. Okay, we can go to the party. We can go to the party? Sweet. You know, and he's obviously super jazzed. The dad's like, oh, was that the guy in the with the Chevy Blue Malibu? I love how he shows up at the house. Like, he's clearly in that, you know, that trench coat that he never takes off. He goes and meets the dad. He's like, hey, Lloyd Dobler, a few things about myself. You know, I'm an athlete, so I'm not going to really drink. Your daughter's going to be safe with me. I'm really into kickboxing. You ever heard of it? Sport of the future. he's just like, yeah, she's over here.
Whatever, man. Keep going. Just great. Nice to meet you. Awesome. Keep moving.
they get in the car, and I love how he turns it on. And, like, it's clearly like the whatever music he was listening to, but like cranked up way too loud. And he's like, oh, geez, I'm sorry. Let's go ahead and turn that down to a respectable volume. They get to the party, and he has the unlucky assignment of being the keymaster. Which is great, you know. I thought it was weird that, like, a school counselor was coming to the party.
Yeah, all these underage kids getting hammered, you know.
The guy, Michael, I don't know if you know this, but the guy whose house that was, the party, the guy with like the red rooster haircut and like the John Lennon glasses, that is Eric Stoltz. That was the original Marty McFly that we talked about with Back to the Future.
I was going to say, I thought that name sounded familiar.
Who got fired after like a month of filming.
Yeah.
So he's doing all right.
Yeah.
They end up having to get split apart. She's out there experiencing real life. She's enjoying herself. You know, she kind of talks in the car. She was like, would you mind if I wanted to go home, we'd go home early? He goes, no, that's fine. We'll, you know, whatever you want. Just happy to be here. Everybody coming up to Lloyd just being like, Diane Court, man, nice.
Way to go.
Or even like vice versa, talking to her. Well, Lloyd, how'd that happen? Oh, you know, he made me laugh. And like, that one drunk dude comes up to Lloyd's. He's like, how'd you do that, man? Like, and he's like, I just called her.
Yeah.
What do you mean? He's like, yeah. I just,
555.
1423. That's, yeah, man, I just called her. He goes, who are you, man? He goes, I'm Lloyd Dobler, man.
That's what I love about that kind of his demeanor towards the whole situation where everyone's like, oh, yeah, look what you pulled. Like, you know, seeing her as like an item. And he's just like, I just wanted to spend time with her, you know?
Yeah, like there was no doubt in his mind.
Yeah. He's just like, okay, yeah.
Obviously, all the gals are talking up Lloyd to Diane. We get the friend that wrote the 65 songs to Joe.
Yeah.
That she's just like cringily playing all 65 at the party. I don't know if you noticed in her room, but she has cutouts of Joe all over her room.
Hmm.
All those photos.
I didn't
on the back,
that.
Like the pinups and the posters. Those aren't just like random, like posters. Those are of Joe. So like after the party, once we see who Joe is and we go back, we almost have like interstitials at that house with those two gal pals just being like, uh-oh, the second date, this is where it all falls apart. But Lloyd's not even there, but they're clearly just like letting the audience know what's going on. Have a great time at the party. Eric Stoltz dressed up as a rooster, so we get to rip him to shreds. He does this every year. She calls her dad, lets her dad know, hey, I'm not going to be home until dawn, which is wild. I would have to just say I'd be home late and then get home at 3 and then have to explain to my dad that, no, I said I'd be home late.
Yeah. I purposely didn't define what late meant, okay?
There was literally one time where I talked to my mom and I was just like, hey, we're going to be home like really late. And she goes, okay. So I come home at like 3 in the morning and my dad comes out and he goes, where have you been? I was like, oh, I'm just hanging out with, you know, Tyler and Skylar. And he goes, do you have any idea what time it is? Like, yeah, but I told mom I'd be home late. And my dad goes, your mom knew? And I'm like, yeah. And he goes, oh, okay, go to bed. I was like, yeah.
Yeah, so I was working on it.
I was in the process of that, actually. That's
what I thought.
My mom.
You think I'm tired? I'm bushed.
Yeah.
It's 3 in the morning, Dad. Do you know what time it is?
Go back to bed. What are you doing up?
Yeah, I should be asking you what you're doing up at this hour.
Yeah. This is accomplishing nothing. Can we table this in the morning? I'm tired. Technically, it is morning, but later.
I don't want to let you know that I was actually toll papering homes until 3 in the morning.
Yeah. So we don't have a discussion right now, okay?
Yeah. Anyway. She lets her dad know she's coming home at dawn. All the other girls are like, oh my God, you let your dad know that you're going to be home late? And she's like, yeah, I'm just honest with my parents. And like, usually if I come home late, I just come home crying. That way they leave me alone. Dawn has broke. People start leaving the party. Jeremy Piven is tackling John Cusack, yelling in his face, you must chill. Give me the keys, man. You must chill. I love you, man.
I love you.
They think, finally, the sack of keys is empty. So give me a beer, finally. Unfortunately, there's one key left. We check the bathroom. And the guy who was impressed by the sheer awesomeness of Lloyd Dobler is now passed out in the bathroom, drunk, possibly high off his ass. I gotta go home, man. I like how it sets it up that like we're gonna have 3 hours of commercial time, commercial free rock and roll played on the radio, and then it cuts to, all right, that was the 3 hours of, because they clearly don't know where this guy lives.
Yeah. 3 hours later.
That's finally, that's my house. I was like, hey, you guys want to like, and they just like, yeah, peel off without. He goes to take her back home, but they stop at 7-Eleven for a big gulp. Luckily, we can walk the rest of the way because it's not that far. And that's where we get the scene with he's moving the glass out of the way for her. They kind of have like a heart-to-heart moment where, you know, she opens up about how her parents are divorced and that she had literally had to choose her dad over her mom. But now, you know, her dad is her entire world. His parents are in the military stationed in Germany, but he's living with his older sister. And then she weirdly lets him know that he's the most basic guy she's ever dated, like gone out with. And he's like, oh, cool. Thanks.
Neat compliment.
Thanks. Cool.
She gets home. Her dad's there. How'd it go? Kind of thing. She's like, it was really great, but then I ruined it by calling him basic. And her dad's like, well, I don't, look at this goofball on the street. I don't think he's really fazed by it. Uh-huh. We see him out there, like, taking a bow from an imaginary audience, like, doing nailed his Oscar it. Acceptance speech to, like, everybody. Thank you. Thank you. And that's when we cut to the gal pals being like, oh, did you hear about date number two? Yeah, this is the one where everything goes wrong because it's got to be a dinner date with her parents. Well, I guess with her dad. And work co-workers?
Yeah.
Weird.
But not even like his coworkers. They were like bankers. They were, I guess friends, business friends. But because her dad runs a retirement home, they got a great house, by the way. They randomly have like a $9,000 jukebox in their living room.
Yeah. Those yeah, things oh, are yeah. expensive.
That's what he was saying. I meant to look up the $9,000.
It's like 14,000.
1, 2, 3, 1989, $23,264.
Ah, damn!
In today's money, we cut to like the end of dinner where everyone's just like, "Hey, Lloyd, what are you gonna do with your life?" And he goes, oh, "I'm just gonna hang out with your daughter." Yeah. And he goes, "No, I'm being serious." He goes, "Yeah, no, I'm being serious. Probably just hang out with your daughter." What about your, you know, future plans? What do you want to do with yourself? And that's when we get, like, he just, like, goes on for a ramble. He's like, I don't want to buy, sell, or produce. I don't want to buy anything that's sold or produced. I don't want to sell anything that's bought and produced. I don't want to produce anything that's bought or sold. My dad's in the military. He kind of wants me to go into the military, too, but I'm kind of really interested in kickboxing. You ever heard of it? It's kind of a new sport. I think it's got a good future. But, you know, so I've been doing a lot of that. But I really don't even know if I'm good or not, you know, because I haven't really had any, like, professional bouts yet. So once I get, like, a professional bout, we can really, you know, figure out kind of how good I am. But until then, yeah, I'll probably just hang out with your daughter. He just kind of, like...
Word vomit.
In a roundabout way, I'm trying to say I'm probably just going to hang out with your daughter.
And like clearly dad is not impressed, not happy. Unfortunately, dinner is interrupted because the IRS are making house calls at eight at night.
Yeah, seriously.
They let him know, hey, guess what, we're the IRS, you're under investigation. And he's like, cool, talk to my lawyer. Or he's like, oh, so you don't want to answer our questions. He goes, why don't you show up at my place of business tomorrow like a fucking normal person?
Yeah.
This guy. Just kind of conversation done. Closes the door in his face. We get like a decent amount of like, you know, Summer Lovin'. You know, she works at the retirement home with her dad. Lloyd's hanging out there. I like how he's introducing the movie Cocoon to a bunch of people. Yeah. No, it's really cool. It's about old people going to space. I think you'll really like it. We get him showing her how to drive stick, which is great. He seems to be the guy to do it because you gotta have patience if you're gonna teach someone to drive stick. Because mm-hmm. It is not fun learning to drive stick from people who don't have patience.
Yeah.
Not at all.
Do you know how you drive stick? Do we all drive stick?
My truck was a stick.
Like, know-how?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Nice. Look at us. We're one of the few three. We're the last three.
Look at us.
I know. I was like, you can always tell, too. Like, once you have driven a car for a long time that is a stick shift, and then you see people, like, driving around, you're like, oh, it's a stick shift. Like, the rollback and everything, and, you know, there's a certain way.
Yeah. I loved my Chevy S10 pickup. No free plugs. But, like, half the time, you don't even realize you're shifting anymore.
Yeah.
It's just all muscle memory.
Yeah, and, like, you just listen to where the RPMs are. Yeah. Oh.
Mm-hmm. I'd be interested to see if, like, if I could just pick it right back up, because I haven't driven stick in 10 years.
I bet you could.
Thank you. I appreciate that.
You can do anything put your mind to, Bert.
That is true. Yeah. He's teaching her to drive stick in the car. Cut to them having sex in that same car. While In Your Eyes by Peter Gabriel is playing. I do think it's kind of fucked up that he's playing that song outside our window. Because it's like, remember, this is the song we had sex to? Like, I didn't even really dawn on me until this time I'm watching it. I'm like, man, that's kind of messed up.
Yeah.
It's like
remember when we did this?
Remember what we did to this? he's clearly timid and shy. Like, we find out that it may have been his first time as well. You know, he's like shivering. He's like, are you cold? No. We find the difference in each other, where like he is like not telling his friends what happened, but kind of slyly just being like, my lips are sealed. Like, did you do the deed?
I never kiss and tell.
I won't say. Cut to her being like, yeah, Dad, I had sex with him, and I'm telling you because you're my best friend.
And the audience is like, what the fuck?
Yeah,
you're telling your dad? That's the first person you tell?
Dad, he was giving me that face. You know the face. And he's just like, yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. How could you say no to those puppy dog eyes?
And the little pouty lip he has. Dad, he washed his Clash t-shirt.
He
took off his trench coat. Do you know what that means?
That's a signal. It's a universal signal that I'm ready to throw down.
He taught me stick, okay? What was I supposed to do?
Yeah.
He lets her know, you know this fellowship that you have. You're going to Europe. It's coming up. Honestly, you just need a clean break of this guy. You got him out of your system. You got to let him down easy, because what's going to happen? Long-term relationships, they don't work. What are you going to do? Like, here, I have an idea. Give him a pen. He'll love it. Give him a pen. He wrote you a letter about how it was really awesome that you let him have sex with you and how he's in love with you. Write him a pen, because clearly this guy loves writing. So give him a pen. Break up with him. I got the IRS breathing down my neck right now. The last thing I need is to worry about you. And she's clearly just like, yeah, I'm worried about my dad, and my dad's worried about me, so I guess if I just dump him, I guess. It was, like, the whole...
The logic behind it, or the reasoning, is pretty lame.
Yeah. So we cut to them driving in the car, and he's just like, hey, by the way, just go ahead and, check your mailbox, because there might be something in there. And she goes, no, I got your letter yesterday. And he goes, oh, nice. He didn't say anything. That's cool. And anyway, I meant it. I love you a lot. Oh, and she's like, no, don't. And then it's like, you don't even know what I'm going to say. Just let me say this. And finally, she's just like, hey, I think we need to, like, spend less time with each other. And he's like, are you breaking up with me? He's like, I gave you myself. And she's just like, you know, I'm really busy. It's not me. It's not you. It's me. I got this fellowship going on. Here. Have this pen.
It was a pen.
He's just like looking at it like,
it's a cool pen.
It's just a cool pen. She just puts it on his dash and then like gets out of the car. And then like we get like 10, 15 minutes of him just like spiraling in different ways. Like she's crying, you know, and then like he gets mad, drives off. He's got the tape recorder just being like, retracing all their steps, like doing like a audio blog of
like, no, where'd it go wrong?
This is where we met. It was at the mall. Should have known right then and there it was never gonna work. this is where she broke up with me. We took that street right there. I wish I could go hang out with the guys at the old Gas and Gulp and talk about, you know, because they know every, you know, cut to them at the Gas and Gulp and it's like Joe, Jeremy Piven, just being like, no, man, fuck her.
You're dude. Better without her.
Yo, Diane Court, she's a show pony. You need a stallion, brother. And then we cut to like the 10-year-old kid just being like, bitches, man.
Yeah.
Anyway, I got to go home. And they're like, all right, man. John Cusack's just like, can I ask you guys a question? Is like clearly like fighting back tears. Just like, if you guys know so much about all this, why are you sitting here all by yourself without girlfriends at the Gas and Gulp just drinking beers? And he goes, but it's our choice, man. Yeah. Got to him back in the car. He's like, that was a bad, he was like, bad choice. You know, cut to now, the reason why I think it's in Seattle is so you get that shot of him in the hard rain.
That's what I thought, too. Yeah, as soon as you brought that up, I was like, there's only one reason. It's that rain scene.
Yeah. The only time it rains in the movie, it doesn't rain like that in L.A., and if it does, it's every 15 years.
Yeah, you had to sell us the rain.
With the rain pounding on the car, and he's halfway out of the phone booth, just drenched, calling his sister. And the scene that makes me cry every time, man. Where, like, he can't even get his words out. You know, he's just like, you know, she dumped me. I don't know what happened. I just feel kind of fucked up. She gave me a pen. I gave her my heart, and she gave me a pen. I can't even get that last word out. It's like spitting the water out. Gave her my heart. She gave me a pen. I love it. I love it so much. Cut to him with the gal pals just being like, I don't even care.
Yeah.
I like her. I'm over it.
It like captures the stages of a breakup perfectly, right?
That's what I'm saying. Like he's like spiraling in different ways where he's just like hateful, like, where did it all go wrong kind of thing. Let me get advice from my bros. Bad idea. Now just let me cry. And cry in the rain. Okay, now I'm going to my actual friends, my gal pals, and I'm just like, hey guys, I'm over it. I'm cool.
I say I'm over it, yeah.
Yeah, like a more or less like a weird denial phase.
Yeah, exactly. Cut to
immediately, we get her in her room, and we hear the distant tones of Peter Gabriel. And we cut to him outside. In our eyes. He's out there. Iconic image, obviously, of him holding the boombox. I had read that was one of the last things they shot. She wasn't... if you look, we've seen what the front of her house looks like when he's out there bowing. There's our houses across the street, but he's clearly in a park. So, like, if you start, like, doing the, like, continuity issues, but, like, he's supposed to be across the street, but he's clearly not across the street. they tried it a bunch of different ways. Of just like the boombox on the car, him sitting on the car, him, you know, like arms folded with the boombox at his feet, to finally the boombox playing over his head. They didn't know what song they wanted. It was literally the last thing they added in post-production. They finally got permission from Peter Gabriel to use it.
Which makes you wonder, like, so when did they... Like, that's just hard to fathom. Like, you wrote that song in at the last minute, but literally that's the only song I could think of that they would use in that scene.
Apparently there was a song on the jukebox that was playing live, but it's not a song I know or recognize. Who knows? Maybe those guys missed out on immortality.
Right.
But it was just one of those things where, like, Cameron Crowe wanted another moment added. So that's why it was one of the last things filmed of just, like, different interstitials, the sun's coming down. We finally got the image. Now we just need to pair a song to it.
Which brings a question in my head. It's like, they already used that song. Well, I guess maybe this is in retrospect, maybe they edited it in. But, like,
I think Cameron Crowe added it also to the car radio.
Yeah.
But
That's what I'm thinking. I was like, if that was the issue, then they probably were like, well, we already got the rights to it, and we'll just insert it another time, get our money's worth.
Yeah. Originally, it was what song was playing on the radio was Quiet Riot's Come On, Feel the Noise.
Nice.
But
I was like, was that true? God damn, you had me for a second. I was like, fuck, that's a weird song choice, too.
That'd be a hoot.
Come on, feel the noise. Girls, rock your boys.
A soft love story, and then the lovemaking session turns into just this.
And then Quiet Riot on the radio. The very next morning, Diane Court, Ione Skye, has to go to the IRS to have a meeting with Philip Baker Hall, the late, great Philip Baker Hall, to talk about her father, who also, I should mention, is played by John Mahoney. I don't know if you're a Frasier guy. Any of you guys watched Frasier growing up?
Many moons ago, yeah.
He was the obvious. He was Kelsey Grammer's dad in Frasier.
Yep. With the Walker, and the Jack Russell Terrier. Those two were the best characters,
from what I remember. Yeah, I didn't really watch it. My grandparents used to watch it though. He pretty much tells her, "Hey, listen. You're worried about you're not going to take that scholarship. You should probably take the scholarship because your dad's going to jail. I don't know what to tell you. He's guilty." We've been investigating him for 5 years, for the last 17. We think he's stealing money from the people living in his retirement homes, and when they die, he fleeces them, and now the families are coming after him. So this is what's happening. Deal with it. Take a look around your house. Do you have any like large, unnecessary gifts, maybe like a $9,000 jukebox sitting around? Has he given you a lot of presents lately, like a stick shift car or maybe
just
a ring?
A car.
That's normal, though. Everybody gets that.
Hey, when John Cusack shows up at the house, hey, really cool graduation present. Everyone's talking about it.
Yeah.
She goes home and starts doing the almost like the horror movie where she's looking around the house and she's like, you can almost see like the dollar amounts popping up over it and like seeing how much everything's worth until she finds literally just a chest or drawer full of $100 bills rubber band together.
Yeah.
To where she confronts her dad and he's like, okay, I did it. I stole from old people. I did it for you. So you're welcome.
Mm-hmm. Puts the blame on her. Yep.
I did it to give you a better life. Thank you for not choosing your mom, by the way.
Yeah.
I did it for you, and I'd do it again. But now he's going to jail. Cut to, like, he's in jail. We get that, like, really quick scene where it's just, like, the litigators are like, come, $50,000 bond, no jail time. Are you kidding me? He stole from grandma and grandpa for 17 years.
Yeah.
Okay, how about $100,000 and 6 months? Make it 125 in 9 months. You got a deal. Okay, sounds good. Let me just run up a flagpole. They're like still eating lunch. It's like, man, that's depressing.
Yeah. Yes.
People deciding your fate just like
over lunch.
Casually over lunch.
Look, pecans in the salad. This is great. What a good addition. Anyways, let me go run this up.
Yeah. Okay. All right. See ya. Ione Skye now goes to John Cusack in his kickboxing dojo. Who's getting the living shit kicked out of him. I just want to feel again. She confesses her love for him. I want to get back together. He goes, do you actually really want to? And she's like, yeah. So they make up, and all I can think about when they're kissing is that he's getting blood all over her.
Yeah.
Because he's bleeding from his nose, and she's wearing like a white shirt.
Side note real quick, did you know Ione Skye was married to Ad Rock from Beastie Boys?
I did not.
Wow.
Me neither. That's crazy. Blew my mind.
Apparently they had like real life chemistry, but because they were in relationships, they never acted on it. I guess Ione Skye in her memoir wrote that had we not been in relationships, we would have gone home with each other after the stick shift driving scene.
Because
I guess they were just Like,
the chemistry was there.
Chemistry was off the charts.
Which is funny. Like, I didn't know much about Ionity Sky when I saw it. So I was looking her up, read the whole IMDb thing, but yada yada, went upon my day. And then the next day I get a, you know, suggested news article, and it was like, suspected chemistry between Ionity Sky and John Cusack, blah, 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 blah. I'm like, oh, geez, okay.
And then you got your data, bro.
Yeah. Well, yeah, obviously. But, yeah, they were like, well, there's rumors that, you know, they were talking about that. So that's funny.
Yeah. They're halfway back together. John Cusack is weirdly visiting John Mahoney, her dad, in jail, which I think is so wild because he's pretty much just like, hey, bro, listen.
Hey, man.
Like, I'm back together with your daughter and I'm going to England with her. That makes him mad, but it's cool. She brought you a letter only for her to then show up and then almost like mic drop hand him the pen.
Yeah.
Just like, remember the pen?
This lady be delivering pens.
The ending is so wild to me. Just for that moment where it's almost like she had like such that close relationship with her dad, and now she's like almost like big manning him, but like not really. Well, like they're still like good
Lloyd's,
with each other.
Lloyd's got to tell him, you know, because he's an honest guy, so he's got to tell him. But he figures it's probably the best time because he can't do shit. He's in jail. He can't kill him.
Yeah, what are you gonna do? Yeah, what are you hang out for do? 9 months.
Come find me.
And then we get that last scene of the movie where she's wearing the most ridiculous hat while they're on the plane. It's mentioned earlier in the film that she is terrified of flying. So he's like trying to calm her down. Hey, no, it's all good. Pretty standard stuff for Boeing 717. No big deal. Yep. Nope. Just slight turbulence is to be anticipated when taking off. Mm-hmm. Nope, that's cool. So what we're going to do is we want to watch for that. I love it. Clearly, you can still smoke on planes in 1989, because he's like, once the no smoking sign clicks on, then we know we're good. I would think it'd be the seatbelt sign, not the smoking sign.
Yeah.
We're waiting for that ding. Waiting for the ding. Where's that ding? Where's that ding? Yeah. The ding is coming. you know, the old lady next to her is just like, what the fuck is going on? It's cool. It's cool. It's fine. We're fine. And then the movie cuts to black, and we hear an explosion. So they clearly died.
Yep. That I watched the same version. Yep.
No. The light goes out, and we hear the ding.
End scene.
Yeah.
I like
my version was better.
I like the blow up version better. All of that for nothing. Anyways, moral of the story: love stinks.
Get Cindy over it, move on.
Yeah.
Whoop-a-dee-doo.
Yeah.
I love this movie. I'm glad we got to do it.
Yeah.
I had read that this film was nominated for AFI lists. It was nominated for... It was in the 400 movies that were culminated for... So it was in the running to be on one of the greatest AFI's love stories.
Mm.
Comedies, and then also In Your Eyes was one of the nominated songs for best film songs.
Those bring some hearty emotions with everything.
Yeah.
I feel like 80s music and it's like songs, obviously, like, you know, Peter Gabriel stuff like that. Like, God, it just brings this like vibe of just like, maybe just think of like Free Willy and shit like that. But like, you know, just like triumphant 80s movies where it's just like, I could do anything, dude. I'm going to blast this song.
Yeah, and I think 80s movies were like hip to tie iconic scenes to music, you know?
Yeah.
Hell yeah.
Like you think about like The Breakfast Club. I mean, there's
I was going to say John Hughes in general.
Yeah, I mean, there's so many movies that are just tied to music alone. And then it carries on to today where music is an integral part of the film.
Yeah, even like, you know, all the, you think of any like suspenseful scene, it's like, oh, it was a, you know, John Williams wrote that score, and it's just like, you know, it's plays such a neat role in creating a theme in movies.
Well, god darn, do I love this movie, and gall darn do I love Lloyd Dobler.
Yeah.
What a quirky dude.
Is there anything else we need to mention?
Talk? I mean, there was a canceled TV series.
You know, I saw that that had popped up, but I never really, I didn't look into it. Another John Cusack movie ended up getting its own TV show too with High Fidelity.
Apparently Crow didn't approve of the project, so it was pretty much scrapped.
Were the same people involved? Was it Cusack and Ione Skye?
No, it was Aaron Kaplan and Justin Adler.
Producers. I don't know who any of those people are. Oh, they were producing, not acting in it?
No.
Gotcha.
No.
This is a James L. Brooks produced movie, by the way. A guy who does The Simpsons. Produces The Simpsons.
So he can see the future, too.
Yep.
No, it's just Matt Groening, I think.
Oh, got it. Okay. I just went on this. Looks like John Cusack won the 1990s Chicago Film Critics Association Awards for Most Promising Actor.
In what year?
In what year?
1990.
Oh. For some reason, I thought you said 2000 and something. I was like, oh, they just got around to it.
Yeah.
Hey, this John Cusack. Hmm. He's got a future.
Hey, you're that guy in Say Something. Say Anything. Right.
Say Something. I really wish John Cusack would get back to making some good stuff.
Yeah, thank you. I feel like he peaked in like early 2000s, late 90s, and everything else that he's made, with the exception of I would say Hot Tub Time Machine, he got back to like his old ways of acting. And his comedy, and I thought he was great in that movie. I thought it was just old John Cusack.
One of the first questions that pop up when you Google John Cusack, some of the people also ask, it says, what happened to John Cusack?
Yeah, exactly.
The AI overview said, John Cusack has shifted his career focus towards independent and direct-to-VOD films.
Yeah. I heard him on a podcast a couple years ago say that he would do a lot of bad movies because they paid well, and then that money he would then put into like independent stuff that he was actually like when he did 2012, like it paid well, but then because of that he put it into
to a kick-ass project or something,
that Beach Boys movie that he did, Love and Mercy, I think is what it was called, where he was Brian Wilson, the older Brian Wilson. You know, he did that really bad Edgar Allan Poe movie. It's called The Raven. It's like a murder mystery with Edgar Allan Poe.
Yeah, I know which one you're talking about.
But, like, I just haven't seen him in anything really in a long time.
Wasn't he in, like, some horror movie a couple years ago?
In 2024, he was in Decoded. Whatever that is.
Yeah,
1940, the world was a turbulent. Yeah, it seems. Yeah,
he was in that Sam Jackson horror movie.
Yeah,
Room something or whatnot.
Yeah,
1408.
That was mid thousands.
Yeah, that was 2007. Interesting. So yeah, we answered the question. What has John Cusack been up to?
Not much
stuff.
Not much.
The answer is stuff. Well, do we want to talk about what we're doing next week?
Hell yeah.
Yes.
So, we got Michael's two movies done. We went chronological. We did one of mine. But now we're going to crank out both of Brandon's movies.
Woo!
And the first one that we're doing is the first movie you wanted to do, which was Garden State. So we are jumping from, we're skipping the 90s altogether. We're going from 89 to 2004. For Garden State. We'll catch y'all next time. We say we go ahead and cut Prince Trick the Gate.
See you guys.
See ya.